Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about a new vision for historic Fort Snelling, and we'll talk to Representative Bob Detmer about pending veterans legislation. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Military members will be the first to tell you, our families are the reason we are able to serve. Today, I would like to honor a special member of our military family, our mothers. Mothers play an important role in our lives. They are the first to give us love, as well as strength and courage to persevere when the going gets tough. Mothers teach us at an early age values that fall in line with values we adopt when we join the military. In the Minnesota National Guard, as in all branches, we have mothers who also serve. They are dedicated, hardworking individuals who balance their military lives and their family lives to serve our country. I'd be remiss without mentioning another very special group of mothers, our Gold Star mothers. These mothers have endured a pain most of us will never know. Their children gave the ultimate sacrifice for our nation. On this Mother's Day, I would like to thank all of our mothers for your support of what we do and your sacrifices while we serve, and it gives us the strength to accomplish our mission.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the Minnesota Historical Society is Randall Dietrich and Tom Fonensteel. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us today.
Today we want to talk about a program called Many Stories Still Untold, A New Vision for Minnesota Historic Fort Snelling. And Randall, we'll talk with you. I think it's been a few years since you've been on the show. And weren't you on talking about the 70 years?
I was. It's nice to be back. Thanks for having us back again. You know, I'd started with the Historical Society about 12 years ago. And you know, during that time, I had the chance to look at the World War II and develop that Greatest Generation exhibit at the Minnesota History Center. Spent the last number of years focusing on the Civil War sesquicentennial, 2011 to 2015.
Which was the 150th anniversary.
150th, thank you. And now going to be turning my attention next year to the coming centennial of the U.S. entry into World War I and looking at that legacy. All of those stories, you know, have some bearing, some footprint on Fort Snelling. So a lot of those stories started was Fort Snelling.
And hence we have Tom Fonensteel with us. And Tom, I understand you're the site manager for historic Fort Snelling.
Yes, I've been site manager there for about 9 years and with the Minnesota Historical Society about 18, working on lots of capacities dealing with Fort Snelling.
Well, as site manager, I might as well ask you the first question. How long has Fort Snelling been there?
Fort Snelling will be celebrating its bicentennial in the spring of 2020, so we're coming up on 200 years that the fort's been around.
And I would guess that this many stories still untold, the new vision for Minnesota's historic Fort Snelling has something to do with that.
It does. We currently operate on about an 1820s, 30s, 40s interpretation of the fort when it was first established and really up and running as the military post here in the upper Midwest. But as you can imagine, 200 years plus of history, and we also know that archaeologically there were people here 10,000 years ago. So start adding all those layers on top of the particular interpretation we do now, there's many, many, many things we can still tell about.
And of course, that site was special even that many years ago because it's where two rivers come together, and that was the form of travel a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yes, it was also in some Dakota Indian communities known as the birthplace of their nation. And so it's steeped in lots and lots of history.
Now, Tom, was Fort Snelling last used by the military during and around World War II?
It was. It had its beginnings in 1820. The fort was kind of active till about 1858 when it was essentially shut down. There wasn't a lot happening, if you will, militarily at that point in time. But when the first shot was fired on Fort Sumter, the governor happened to be in Washington, D.C., and essentially walked into the office of Secretary of War and said, I will be the first state to offer troops. The fort was reopened. 25,000 troops were trained at Fort Snelling and sent out to the war, and there's been various conflicts and wars all the way through World War II where it's been active.
We're speaking with Randall Dietrich and Tom Fonensteel from Historic Fort Snelling on Minnesota Military Radio. And Randall, have you been helping with this new vision for Fort Snelling?
We have been working together. There's a large team, actually, at the Minnesota Historical Society, really committed to gathering some of those stories. Tom kind of did the math of the number of Civil War soldiers and other soldiers from World War I and World War II. And if you add those stories up, it's hundreds of thousands of stories. And so as we are revitalizing Fort Snelling in advance of the 200th anniversary here, our effort is to go out and engage veterans across the state of Minnesota and gather some of those stories and make sure that those stories are shared in this new vision that we have for the historic fort.
Now, can you sort through this for me a little bit? There's a lot of sites out there that are referred to as Fort Snelling, but part of it's the historic Fort Snelling and the other parts. Can you sort through that for us, one of
you? Sure. If your viewers could imagine a mosaic map of Fort Snelling, it looks like a crazy quilt, quite frankly. There's probably 10 to 15 landowners. Fort Snelling, at the time it was very active, stretched well beyond the current airport and over to the National Cemetery. So it was a pretty large military active base during World War II. As the fort and when the fort was decommissioned in 1946, lots of landowners, the military, the state, the DNR, the Department of Natural Resources, Minnesota Historical Society, the military installations. So there are many, many landowners there. So everything is Fort Snelling to everyone. We happen to be on the east side of the highway, as we call it, the lower post. On the west side is what we call the upper post. And so that's where you see many of the buildings as you drive out to the airport are still left over from World War II. So many, many landowners, many ideas about what Fort Snelling is for people.
And how many of them cooperate and how well does that work?
it is fairly cooperative, but I will say about 75% of our calls to our front desk are about other places Fort Snelling and not historic Fort Snelling.
So people want to come out and look, but they're not quite sure where to go. And of course, out on historic Fort Snelling, there's a famous chapel there too, isn't there?
Yes, the Fort Snelling State Chapel. I believe it was established in the 1930s. It's a very active, non-denominational chapel now, have services at 11 o'clock every Sunday. It's a beautiful building and very active, both with chapel services, weddings, funerals, all kinds of activities there.
So for our listeners, if you go to historicfortsnelling.org, it's all one word, historicfortsnelling.org, you'll find a list of activities that are scheduled and events scheduled for the summer.
Yes,
and
full schedule.
And our friend Chaplain Beal is still holding services at the chapel Sunday mornings at 11.
Yes, he is. And this Memorial Day on Monday, they will have an open house at the chapel for people to come in and take a look and learn all about it.
So for our families all over the state, if you happen to be in town on a weekend, and Sunday morning, it's a great way to spend a day, go out there and see Chaplain Beal and then go take a tour of historic Fort Snelling.
Yes.
Now, we've just got about a minute before we have to take a break, Tom, but what type of events do you hold out there in general in the summertime?
We will have our first public event, Memorial Day, so we'll open to the public Memorial Day weekend on Saturday, May 28th. Monday, May 30th, Memorial Day is a big event. We had about 2,800 people last year. We have about 40 to 50 reenactors in costume doing all kinds of military displays, all kinds of information activities that people come out and take part of.
All right. Once again, if you go to historicfortsnelling.org, you can see a list of events. We're going to talk more about that and talk more about many stories still untold, a new vision for Minnesota's historic Fort Snelling when we come back. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jim Kellogg, commander of the Minnesota American Legion. This coming June, over 800 high schoolers will travel to Minnesota Boys State and Minnesota Girls State. They are premier programs in Minnesota for hands-on learning about grassroots democracy. The students will create their own parties, elect their own legislature, and state officers to become better citizens of our great nation. Please join the American Legion family still serving America. Contact us at mnlegion.org. That's mnlegion.org.
Hello, I'm Tom Lyons, founder and principal partner of Phelan Partners Limited, a Twin Cities mergers and acquisitions advisory firm where we help business owners to plan, prepare, and execute a strategy to complete the deal. When I'm not hosting Minnesota Military Radio on this station, I'm hard at work helping business owners with their exit strategies. If you're interested in selling a business, please give us a call at 763-231-4200 at Phelan Partners Limited. We've been bringing buyers and sellers together since 1985, and we'd welcome an opportunity to help you. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we've been talking about a new vision for historic Fort Snelling, and our guests have been Randall Dietrich and Tom Fonensteel, both with the Minnesota Historic Society, and Tom is the site manager. Is that the right term, Tom?
Yes, correct.
And Randall, you're just a historian, right?
I'm serving as the World War One specialist for the next number of years.
And you move from topic to topic every few years and become an expert on that.
I do.
Well, we want to talk today about this new vision for the anniversary of Fort Snelling that's coming up. You're coming up on 200 years, and it's called Many Stories Still Untold, A New Vision for Minnesota's Historic Fort Snelling. And Tom, can you tell us what's all involved in here? You're going to the legislature to try to get some money. You're trying to raise some money. What all are you trying to do out there where the historic fort is?
The revisioning of historic Fort Snelling is the biggest project the Minnesota Historical Society has worked on in 25 years, so it's a rather major project for us and for the Historic Sites and Museums Division. And essentially what we're doing, the Minnesota Historical Society has developed a master plan for the site. We're on about 21 acres, owned by the state, facilities owned by the state. The site is administered by the Minnesota Historical Society, so we've developed a master plan to kind of tie the site together, develop more stories about the history of the site, and to really make this more of what I would term a community-centric place. We want the community to be really involved with us to develop this. We're now in the process of finishing phase one, which essentially encompasses several of the historic buildings on the site. We have, and people who drive by to and from the airport would see two big brick buildings with red roofs on our site. Those are 1904 cavalry barracks that, again, were built in 1904. We will take one of those buildings, Building 18 as we call it, that will be our new visitor center that we'll be restoring and doing reconstruction and preservation of that building. We'll also be taking a 1880 ordnance building, Building 22. And what I will say about the numbering, the military had just a really finite way of identifying things and building things. So the old commanding officer's house within the walls of the fort, that was building number one. And as you build to the west and develop the post, all buildings are consecutively numbered. So Building 17 and 18 are the 1904 cavalry barracks. Building 22, Building 1880, was built as an ordnance building. So we'll take those two facilities and create our visitor services, our exhibition space, classroom space, event space, museum store, admissions, offices, et cetera, in both of those buildings. The current underground visitor center we will be demolishing. It's showing its age. It was finished in 1982. So we'll be demolishing that building and creating a nice open green space, outdoor plaza. We'll also be tying more closely to the river. A lot of people visit, they come and say, where is the river? I've heard the river is around here. Where is it? Well, you can't see it when you get out of your car. Right, it's down the bluff, way down the bluff. So we're going to be establishing a river walk right along the edge of the bluff so people can see the river, experience the river. We can interpret the river more closely about its association with the fort and the Fort Snelling area. We'll also be doing a number of exhibitions and programs and really broadening and deepening the stories there. Again, I've mentioned previously, we now interpret the 1820s, 30s, 40s when the fort was built and more active. We do talk about more than the military stories. We talk about slavery. There were between 30 and 40 slaves held in the fort. People really don't realize and know that. Dred and Harriet Scott were there. So we're really trying to tell more of those stories, deepen the stories. We want the public to be involved. We're out talking and having open houses, one-on-one conversations. We've asked the state for $34 million in this bonding session. Governor Dayton and the Senate have put that in both of those particular, they put those in their budgets. We're waiting for the house. We're also raising $12 million privately for the $46 million project.
So, Randall, you're involved in this as well. $46 million project to revitalize and keep Fort Snelling, get it in good shape for the 200th anniversary.
We'll get it ready. And, you know, having the facilities there are so important because inside those facilities are the stories that we all kind of hold dear. And those are stories that Minnesota families have about their loved ones that passed through this very special place, a place that has the oldest structures in Minnesota still standing. And so to take this time at the 200th anniversary, and look back and systematically engage Minnesotans into the stories that should be included in this new envisioned space is what we're all about right now, preparing for 2020.
So this is a great new revitalization of historic Fort Snelling. So for all of our listeners, if you've been there, great. If you haven't gone out, go out and take a look at it and get on the horn and talk to your elected officials in the state legislature and tell them to push this forward so that for the 200th anniversary, Fort Snelling, historic Fort Snelling's in great shape and ready to go. We're talking to Randall Dietrich and Tom Fonensteel from Minnesota Historic Society on Minnesota Military Radio. And gentlemen, we've got about 4 minutes left. I want to talk a little bit more about everything that goes on. You have a busy summer out there, don't you, Tom?
We do have a busy summer. Currently, we're in the middle of our school tour session. We have about 22,000 kids in 6 weeks now, so noisy, noisy place. We'll be opening to the public Memorial Day weekend, which is our first big event on Memorial Day. Big 4th of July event that we've got, and as Randall mentioned, we have a World War I event later in August. So lots and lots of activity for kids, adults. The whole family can come out and enjoy it.
So all those events and everything coming up for the summer can be found at historicfortsnelling.org. And Randall, the vision for going forward for the 200th anniversary, is the public invited to take part in that discussion?
Very much so. I mean, we're going out and engaging veterans across the state of Minnesota to gather that information. But, you know, your audience this morning listening on the radio can go to our website, and there's actually an opportunity to log on and share their vision, the listener's vision, for what this new revitalized historic fort should look like.
And are you finding that all of those agencies that Tom mentioned before, are they all working together on this?
I think we are working pretty together. We are working well together. And again, keeping the idea that there are so many stories there, that can go a long ways to unifying a number of different agencies and organizations that share some ownership in this Fort Snelling area, but all kind of unified around the idea of preserving these stories that so many Minnesotans share.
And Tom, one of the things I see in your literature here that part of the vision is to link destinations like Minnehaha Falls, Coldwater Spring, Fort Snelling Memorial Chapel, and Fort Snelling State Park together so people kind of understand what pieces are where and how they can enjoy them.
And I think that's an important part to actually let people know what Fort Snelling was and what it is. It's not geographic. It's not divided by highways. There aren't boundary lines. But it's a big place for everybody, and I think there's lots of things to enjoy. Coldwater Springs, the state park, our site, lots of areas to get around and look at the river, paddling on the river, hiking. So we're trying to work with the other neighbors, other organizations, to kind of make that happen and make it easier for people to get around and know what the history is of the place.
And I would assume at your current visitor center, if they come out to historic Fort Snelling, they can find some information about all of those other locations.
Yes, yes. And we've got the great nice ride bikes at each location. They can just hop right on a bike and get back and forth easily and experience lots of things.
And Randall, we got to tell them one more time, they have to come out and visit my buddy Chaplain Beal.
They do need to come out on Sunday, I understand, about 11 o'clock, every single Sunday for that matter.
And it's a kind of a non-denominational service, but he's a great guy and he does a nice job, doesn't he?
He absolutely does.
So a good day outing for a Sunday. Grab your family, get out to the historic Fort Snelling Chapel, see Chaplain Beal, and then take a tour of the fort. And Tom, I'm going to give the last call to you. We've got just under a minute left. Any final thoughts for our listeners today about many stories still untold, a new vision for Minnesota's historic Fort Snelling?
It's very meaningful for people. I talk with people all the time, talk with groups and organizations, and it's amazing the number of connections, as Randall had mentioned, to Fort Snelling, to historic Fort Snelling, to people living on base, to have their fathers, grandfathers go through. the site, go through the military installations. I have to say it's heartening to listen to people, because we're asking them, this is a place where you can come and tell your story. We want to have you come out and tell your story. We can't tell it for you. We'd love to listen. We'd love to say things, but this is a place that we're going to establish that you can come, you can participate. It's yours. This is your place.
So bring your children, go on out and visit historicfortsnelling.org. Go to the website, look at all the events, and find a Sunday and go out and visit with Chaplain Beal. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom, very much.
Thank you.
That was Randall Dietrich and Tom Fonensteel from the Minnesota Historic Society talking about the new vision for Minnesota's historic Fort Snelling. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Today's Yellow Ribbon Company Spotlight is Hibbing Community College. Hibbing Community College provides life-changing education and opportunities in a dynamic learning environment. An on-campus veteran service office provides transitional assistance for military students and partners with the local St. Louis County veteran service staff to connect with support services. A career services office within the college provides assistance for veterans to build their resume and prepare for job interviews. The college also provides annual military support training to faculty within the college. Hibbing Community College has been a Yellow Ribbon Company since May of 2015 and is honored and proud to be making a difference to service members, veterans, and their families. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet one of our Minnesota state legislators who's involved in a lot of veterans legislation, and we'll find out why. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelito.
This morning, I want to spend a few minutes recognizing mothers across Minnesota. These mothers might be veterans. They might be currently serving and in harm's way, or they might have suffered the loss of their son or daughter in service to our country. This is a time when the community comes together to acknowledge and thank mothers for their love, guidance, and nurturing. The influence of mothers has a tremendous impact on families and society overall. Whatever your situation, I want to thank you for the role you have played in the lives of our children and families across Minnesota. This Mother's Day, I encourage mothers to spend time teaching their children the importance of service and volunteerism to community, to those in need, and to our country. On behalf of everyone here at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the nearly 400,000 veterans across this great state, I wish you a fun and joyous day of celebration.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the District 39A of the Minnesota State Legislature is Representative Bob Detmer. Bob, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
It's a pleasure to be here, Tom, and hopefully we can talk a little bit about what we're doing in the legislature for our veterans population.
Very interested in that, sir, but first, I understand you served in the military yourself.
That's right. 25 years. I'm a retired chief warrant officer, and had one deployment right after 9/11. My unit got called up and spent 20 months deployed away from Minnesota.
And I understand that service in the military of the United States rubbed off on two of your sons and your daughter.
We have twin sons that after high school, they went off to West Point Military Academy, and they've each have had class of 2000, each have had three deployments, Iraq, Afghanistan, and they're both back in the country now, and they're going to be lieutenant colonels pretty soon. So as a chief warrant officer, I salute them. But when they come home with the grandkids, I'm commander-in-chief when their mom's not there, when my wife's not there. So we really enjoy. We've been blessed with our two sons, and our daughter's married to an Army sergeant, came off active duty. They do now live in Minnesota, and he's taking courses at Century College, wants to be a paramedic.
So service to country all throughout your family, sir.
Yeah, we've been blessed.
I understand you've been in the state legislature for, five terms?
Five terms. So in the House representative, each term is 2 years, so it's I'm going on my 10th year.
And you serve on the Veterans Affairs Division Committee.
I'm the chair. I chair the committee, and everything that comes through my committee dealing with veterans then goes off to different committees, whether it's taxes or state government finance, whatever. But I hear all the veterans bills that come through from any of the legislators. We also have a committee in the Senate, and these bills, they go both through the Senate and the House. And I also serve on the State Government Finance, and I also serve on the Ways and Means Committee, and also the K-12 Education Finance Committee. So there's three of them are finance committees.
Bob, as you know, here in Minnesota, there are nine federally chartered veteran service organizations, and they all get together in what's called a Commander's Task Force.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And we have them on almost every month. One of them's on, but we'll be scheduled to having them on pretty soon because they're putting together a package of items that they would like the legislature to work on this year. You must spend some time with them.
I do, and they come in. We also have the Military Action Group, the MAG. And the Commander's Task Force is always comes into that. It's a think tank for military issues. We don't vote on anything. The different issues come into the MAG and brings them in, all the different veterans groups. DEED is there. Military Affairs is there. The Commissioner's Office is there. And all the different groups that have interest in military affairs, we just talk about military issues. And a lot of the legislation that comes out of that MAG, Military Action Group, actually becomes law. And so it's a great group. It's a nonpartisan group. We just get into the what's good for veterans, and a lot of good things comes out of the MAG.
And Bob, one of the other things we're going to have on the show coming up here, I think next month, is there's a little activity, a day they call Vets Day on the Hill.
That's right. And we've always have it in the rotunda of the Capitol. Of course, the Capitol is being renovated now, so it's going to be over in the Armory. And it's a great time for all the veterans to come in and certain legislators get up and speak about what we're trying to do for veterans issues. And Military Affairs, Veterans Affairs, they do a great job putting that on.
We're speaking to Representative Bob Detmer on Minnesota Military Radio. And Bob, I know there's a number of bills that are coming up this year. Can we go through a few of those?
I'll just give you a little highlight of some of the ones that we've already did this past session that really means a lot to our men and women serving. And one that came up would be House File 841, the resident status for students serving in the Minnesota National Guard. In Minnesota, to qualify for different state grants programs, whether it's child care grants or other grants, you have to be a resident for 12 months. What happens is, though, this came to me from some veterans groups, is where they come in, they join the National Guard, but they don't qualify for these grants until they've been here for 12 months. Even though they live in Minnesota, they've joined the Guard, whether the Air Guard or the Army National Guard. So what I did, I put together some legislation that as long as you are serving in the National Guard, the Air or Army Guard, that you qualify right away for these grants. And this was part of the state government or the higher education omnibus bill. We got it through. And now if you are coming into Minnesota and you are a resident of Minnesota and you serve in the National Guard, you qualify for these grants right away. So this was a big plus for some of these men and women.
Great program, Bob. And I'm sure in my day, part of the reason I enlisted in the Air Force was to get the GI Bill so I could go to college. And I'm sure that you probably used part of that. And all of the folks that joined the National Guard in Minnesota get an opportunity for a career, and they get an opportunity for higher education, and that's a big part of it.
And that's right. And, you know, we hear the I know on your program you have Adjutant General talking about hiring a veteran, and we had a bill, House File 141, with veterans-owned small businesses. If you are a veteran and you own a business in Minnesota, you would have to go to get certified for preferences. You would have to get certified through the VA, the federal VA. And what we did here, and it took months sometimes to get that certification so that you could apply for some of these jobs that were out there as a business. But if you own your business, now in Minnesota, you can get, if you got your DD-214, you can give that to the Department of Veterans Affairs, and then they would say, yes, you are a veteran. They would give that information to the Department of Administration, and the Department of Administration then will certify you as a veterans-owned small business, and we passed that legislation also.
Now, Bob, I have that designation, SDVOSB, Service Disabled Veteran-Owned Small Business, and it took forever to get it. My understanding was that you passed some legislation to give the state certification, but is it funded? Is it working now?
It's working, and I've talked to some men and women that own businesses, and they say, yeah, it's working. They got their certification within 2 weeks. right here in Minnesota.
We'll have to talk about that after
That's
the
right.
show.
That's
I should
right.
go over and get that. What else have you been working on, Bob?
Well, another one is the military income tax subtraction, where we're one of only five states that still tax our military veterans' retirement pay. Right now, we have 19,000 veterans in Minnesota that are drawing retirement. They put in 20 years or they are medically retired. But we still have that tax on that retirement pay. Wisconsin got rid of their tax years ago. Iowa got theirs away in 2 years ago. South Dakota, of course, doesn't have income tax. So we've been working on this for several years now, and I have the legislation. It's in the tax bill. And so if we can get that tax bill through this session, we will be phasing out that tax on the military retirement pay. We have 369,149 veterans that live in Minnesota, but only 19,000 of those are actually stay here and retire here. So my goal is to say, hey, come to Minnesota, bring your skills to Minnesota. You got 20 years of service to our country. All the skill sets that you've learned, the leadership that you learned over that 20 years, you're going to come in, you bring your benefits into the state, your Montgomery GI benefits now your spouse and your kids can use this benefit. You're going to buy homes here. You're going to start careers here. It's an economic boost, I think, for our state to have veterans come here and stay here in Minnesota for the rest of their careers.
Yeah, and Wisconsin has proved that it's a net gain to the economy because instead of veterans retiring to states that don't tax it, they come back to Wisconsin.
That's
They're
right.
still young enough to get a job and work, and it's a net gain for the state.
That's correct. That's correct.
Bob, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk to Representative Bob Detmer about some more activity up at the state legislature. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Stephen Whited, adjutant of the DAV Minnesota, looking for volunteer drivers to help transport our Minnesota veterans to their appointments at VA medical facilities around the state. The DAV Minnesota has provided vans for this use and work with our county veteran service officers, provides transportations to get our veterans to their medical appointments. We need volunteer drivers all over Minnesota. Please call the DAV Minnesota headquarters to help with this mission. Please call 651-291-1212 or visit davmn.org. Please volunteer today.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with Representative Bob Detmer from District 39A over in Washington County, isn't it, Bob?
That's right.
Who's been in the state legislature for about 10 years, and he's chairman of the Veterans Affairs Division Committee. And we've been talking about some legislation up at the Capitol, and it's Bob, there's a few more things coming up this session, aren't there?
Well, yes, and we'll be getting going here on March 8th, and because of the renovation of the Capitol, the chamber and everything isn't ready for us yet. So, supposedly on March 8th, we will have access to the Capitol.
And can we go through some more of these bills that you've been working on?
We got House File 147 is what we've been working on, the surviving spouse market value exclusion. Back about 6 years ago, if you were 100% disabled, and you would get a break on your property tax up to $300,000 if you're 100% disabled, up to $150,000 if you're 70% disabled. And back then, if the military veteran passed away, the spouse would only get two more years of that benefit. Then they wouldn't get that benefit. Over the last 8 years, we've increased that to 5 years. And now, a session ago, we increased it to 8 years. I have a bill now that's in the tax bill that would make it indefinite. As long as that surviving spouse stays in that home, she would get that benefit. It would go away if she sold the home or got remarried. So that's something we've been working on for the spouse. And also, we have the Veterans Rest Camp on Big Marine Lake. This is a beautiful camp. In fact, it was originally back World War I. Where it was the first veterans hospital here in Minnesota. It's a very historic camp, and we've been getting some funding for them to put in some disabled accessible cabins for them, a storm shelter, and some playground equipment now, because a lot of young veterans now are bringing their families into this camp at Big Marine Lake. And we also brought in a National Guard engineer unit to actually build these these camps. So it was a great program that we have there at Big Marine Lake, and we're trying to help them out.
Well, we've had them on the show, and they're doing a great job. Bob, just a couple of general questions for you. We've heard that in Congress, there's fewer veterans and members of Congress today than anyone can remember since World War II. How are we doing at the state capitol?
I think at the state on the House of Representatives, there's four or five of us that are veterans, and in the Senate, I think there's probably another three or four. I'd like to see that number increase, because one of the best committees to serve on is this Veterans Division. It's a nonpartisan. We just do what's right for veterans, and it's been something that we've been really enjoy working on.
I think we should get some more of these veterans retiring, move back to Minnesota, and run for office.
That's right. That's right.
How do the representatives feel when they get calls from their constituents about various bills such as this veterans legislation?
Well, I receive a lot of emails and phone calls, and a lot of times when I get emails and stuff, if I can look up their number, their phone number, I'll call them. And a lot of times when they pick up the phone and I hear a pause on the other end and they say, "You're really calling me?" And I think I like to talk to people face to face or call them on the phone instead of going back and forth emailing. And a lot of times I'll have them come into my office. We'll sit down with my research people there and talk about their veterans issue, and we'll take a look at the current law, the current statute, and how can we tweak it or how can we make it better to serve our men and women serving. And that's the best way, I think, to do legislation for our veterans.
Bob, we've got about a minute left. You're clearly a great military family, from the chief warrant officer to the lieutenant colonels to the sergeant. That's got to serve you well, all that experience up in the legislature fighting through those wars over there. Any final thoughts for our listeners? We've got people on 28 stations across Minnesota listen to Minnesota Military Radio each week.
Well, I would encourage people out there to contact your representative, your senator, and if you have any issues dealing with veterans issues, contact them, talk to them, meet with them, come into their offices. You have your veteran service officers in each county, all 87 counties. You know, they have a lot of answers that they can answer you. But I talk to my listeners out there. Just get involved in the veterans issues, because these men and women have served many tours overseas, and we need to do everything we can to support them and their families. The home front, I know the families that are left behind when men and women go off and serve and deploy. The Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program is a great program for these families, and we just support any support you can do for our veterans. I encourage that.
So we need to do what we can do to keep the promise for those veterans that served overseas and sacrificed, and their families. And if they were injured in the process, we've got to stand behind that and take care of those folks.
That's right, Tom.
Bob, I appreciate you stopping by the studio today, and keep up the good work up at the state legislature.
Thank you, and come on up anytime. My door is always open.
I might see you at Vets Day on the Hill, Bob.
That's right.
That was Representative Bob Detmer from 39A over in Washington County area on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hello, Tom. Great to be here again with you.
Sergeant Major, it seems like we're talking every week, but it's only, I think, every 4 weeks. And this week, one of those things that happens when you make friends and you have good people that you love and care about, and all the friends you make in the military, you had a good friend that succumbed to cancer.
Yeah, you know, she was featured on your program, Cassie Majuk. Many of your audience members will remember the Pink Tank Project. And, you know, she's been fighting a cancer battle for 6 years. And at the age of 30 on Monday, we had to say goodbye to Cassie. And what an inspiration she was. You know, obviously, like you mentioned, a friend of mine. She worked for me, but she didn't just work for me. She was a friend, and a true friend, and a great, great person who kept me in line. It's not easy doing the job that I do, but it makes it a heck of a lot easier when you got great people working with you and around you, and she was definitely that type of a person.
And she was a brave young lady, and if anyone wants to hear her story, just go to Minnesota Military Radio. Up in the search device, just type in Cassie. it'll take you to that show when we interviewed her at the VFW Hall a while back. And what a brave young lady.
Yeah, she sure is. And, you know, it's amazing. We're going to do a celebration of life event for her next week on the 12th. And I know the place is going to be packed because she has impacted so many people, touched so many lives. And, you know, she was never about herself. It was always about everybody else. And I don't know that she realized how many people she absolutely impacted in a positive way. And I think there will be a very strong showing on Thursday night to show the love, care, and support to her family and talk about the good times that we were able to share with her when we had her with us for such a short time.
And Sergeant Major, the important thing is, so long as she's remembered, she's not really gone.
You're absolutely right, and she is one that I can promise you I will never, ever forget, because she's meant so much to me and to our organization, to bring an awareness to cancer, to breast cancer in her case. And like I said before, she's touched a lot of people, and I know she will not be forgotten at all.
Sergeant Major, every once in a while we get a chance to take the show on the road. And I think I'm probably going to be bumping into you in the desert.
Yeah, I sure am looking forward to the opportunity to spend some time with folks from KFAN, from KTOC, from serving our troops, as we get the opportunity to do the great things that we get to do in the positions we have, and that is visit our soldiers who are forward deployed. And it's going to be a great opportunity to check in up on our engineer battalion and see how their mission is going, see how they've been doing, and, you know, bring them a little bit of Minnesota and, you know, kind of break it up a little bit and get them ready to come on back home.
And I'm looking forward to talking to the commander of the 682nd Engineers, Captain St. Salver, and give him a little airtime. We usually give all the airtime to his father, Colonel St. Salver.
Well, that's because he's got so much to talk about up there at Camp Ripley. But, you know, now we're going to have two St. Salver stars. I don't know if we can handle that in the state of Minnesota.
Well,
of course, this one will be overseas, so it's okay.
I'll send a note to the colonel. He'll have to just listen this time.
That's right. Absolutely. Tell him. And you know what? We shouldn't even let him give any heads up to his son, because we don't want him to, you know, taint the delivery.
So I'll just make sure he listens after we get back. I'll send him a little note.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. So we are looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a great time and always a great opportunity to get out there and see those soldiers and bring those of you that support us so much as military members, you know, the serving our troops, and of course, KFAN and KTOC. I mean, it's great, great opportunity.
Well, we want to remember all our deployed troops. This time it's about the 682nd Engineers, and of course, a few weeks ago we talked about the 300 airmen that went to South Korea from the 148th Fighter Wing. So you've got your hands full keeping track of all those troops deployed, sir.
Yeah, we sure do. The numbers, you know, the numbers are up there. It's not like it was in the height, but we're still deploying soldiers and airmen out of the Minnesota National Guard. And listening audience just needs to understand that we do deploy our soldiers and airmen, and they are fully ready and capable to do any mission that is put in front of them.
Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us today, and I'll see you soon over in the deserts of Kuwait.
I am looking forward to it, Tom. Thanks so much. Take care and have a wonderful day.
Thank you, sir. That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. As we talked about earlier with Representative Bob Detmer, there's a bill pending at the Minnesota State Legislature that will provide a provision for less taxation on military retirement pay, which is something that happened in Wisconsin about 10 years ago. And it turns out that it creates additional revenue. We'd like to have it done here in the state of Minnesota. Been working on it for years. This is the year. Please call your Minnesota state senator to defer the House language from HF 848 for the omnibus tax bill, which provides a subtraction for military retirement pay. Primary purpose, once again, of this bill is to bring military retirees to Minnesota for a second career and have them live here and spend their money here. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Randall Dietrich, Tom Fonensteel, Representative Bob Detmer, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Shelleto, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.